What's going on, everybody? You're listening to NBA Therapy. This is episode 12. The playoffs are less than a week away. This is just our fourth podcast since, you know, the NBA season has resumed back in the bubble. We've got a lot of topics today. I want to get right into it. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm joined by my co-host,
Stephen Pack. What's good?
And honestly, like, no time for waste. Let's get right into it. What do you want to, what topic do you want to talk about first?
That's your call.
Let's do Butler Warren. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm on you.
Get over it.
I need one to get over this. All week, you know, ever since this bubble started, I've just been lectured about how TJ Warren's a god, how he's made the leap, how this guy's going to be a superstar. And I'm not saying he couldn't be a potential all-star. Very good player. But I think it was clear who was the best player in that Heat game. And I mean, I wanna hear your reactions. Going into the game, Jimmy Butler missed the last two games, so he had missed a little bit of action. And you know, a lot of people, to be honest with you, I didn't really know what to expect from Jimmy. I honestly thought TJ might have got the best from him, because in what I've seen from Jimmy in the bubble, I think he's only played like three games. Isn't it like that? He's only played like two or three games.
Yeah. So Jimmy had like a week to rest up for this game. So, I mean, Jimmy did have that going for him.
And this game was on Monday. I didn't really know what to expect, but literally as soon as it started, like, it was just like clockwork. He was getting to the line instantly. Shot 6 for 6 in the first quarter from free throw.
We also started 1 for 7 from the field.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, he was like really aggressive.
All right, yeah.
Like, just doing what he does, because he's averaged 9 free throw attempts a game. That's kind of crazy. I mean, the highest year second to that is like in 2017, and he's getting to the line about 7 times. 9 times a game is not easy. Not many players.
I know. No. He's made a big jump, but I don't think it's going to continue in the playoffs. I don't think he's as much of a foul-drawing technician as guys like Luka Doncic or James Harden. Like, and James Harden.
Dame Lillard.
Yeah, and Dame Lillard, I was going to say. But even James Harden, his calls go away in the playoffs.
Yeah, so. That's why we love the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know what to expect. And to be honest with you, this game, honestly, it felt a little bit like a playoff game. It was kind of refreshing because in so many of these games, like, for example, the Raptors-Bucks game that was also on Monday. Going to that game, I was hyped. It was on ESPN. I tune in, no Lowry, no Giannis. The best player for each team weren't playing. So I was like, all right, forget that. In the Suns-Thunder game, Steven Adams, Shai Gilgeous, or Dennis Schroeder didn't play. In the Nets-Clippers games, PG didn't play. Rockets Kings, Westbrook missed it, but he's actually hurt. Just a lot of people are resting, and I normally don't watch when the best players are resting, because that tells me the teams don't care, and that's always my golden rule with the NBA. I've devoted so much to watching the NBA and following and keeping up with everything that if there's a game where like the superstar's not playing, it tells me the team doesn't care, and I don't want to watch it. It's cool to see who steps up when the superstar's out. But it tells me the team doesn't care if they win or lose.
I agree with that. I try not to spend any real time watching meaningless basketball games.
To be honest with you, for the rest of the season, the only games they're going to watch involve the Trailblazers, the Suns, the Spurs, and the Grizzlies. And I'll watch the Nets game, but they play the Trailblazers anyway, so not a big deal. That was not apparent in this Heat-Pacers game. All the real MFers were playing. And to be honest with you, both teams didn't shoot amazing. There were great defensive possessions for the Pacers and the Heat, I thought. But one big thing is that the Pacers really missed Sabonis. To be honest with you, I haven't watched a ton of Sabonis compared to other All-Stars. He might have been the least I've watched. Honestly, it probably is Sabonis that I've seen the least of. Probably Trae Young, because I just don't watch a lot of Hawks games. And I thought Bam really dominated Turner, to be honest with you. I just think he's way better. And I think Sabonis is huge for that matchup, because it seems like this is going to be the 4-5 in the East. Your thoughts?
I thought this was the first game that it felt like, oh, man, we missed Sabonis out there. I thought that TJ Warren outplayed Butler in the first half.
Uh-oh.
In the first half, he definitely outplayed him. He outscored him in points, better field goal percentage. He just looked better on the floor. But in the second half, it was a totally different story. I think the Pacers are going to be better off than what we saw in this because basically this game had such playoff intensity, and we saw everything that the Heat threw at the Pacers.
This was a playoff game. Victor Oladipo was your leading scorer. He scored 14. Brogdon was second with like 12. And I actually thought Brogdon played the best game out of anybody, but his game was far from perfect.
Yeah, we saw a lot of double teams towards Warren, and I think that the Pacers just didn't have a game plan for that. But I expect one to be made for that. Just TJ Warren's never been doubled. To be honest with you,
Warren kind of disappeared in that third and fourth. When he's not scoring, there's a limit to what he can do.
The thing was that Warren was being doubled, and the Pacers never had like experience with Warren being doubled. So
yeah,
I don't think it's something that they can't overcome. I just think it's something that they never saw before. But
the Heat are deep, man. Like, they play great team defense. Butler and Bam go out, and it's like clockwork. They keep the lead. Like, it doesn't even matter. It really doesn't. And that's why I feel so confident with them, because I think we both agree Miami has the best player in the series. Could be I'd make the argument players. And I think Miami, like, they go 10 deep. Think about this. In the playoffs, they could play Bam, Butler, Dragic, Crowder, Iggy, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Herro, Kelly Olynyk, Derrick Jones, and Kendrick Nunn. He didn't play in the Monday game. That's 10 guys. Those guys are all playing. Those guys are all seeing the floor in the playoffs, and I think they trust all those guys. You can't really say that about many playoff teams.
Well, I think with the Pacers, I just think that they were missing shots. I don't think it was – like, I just think everybody was off that game.
Yeah, it was a really bad shooting game. I thought Miami really played hard on defense.
They did. They had some good closeouts. But
and I thought Jimmy Butler got the best of TJ Warren in that game too.
No, that's not what I'm going to say. I'm just going to say that I want to see what happens in the playoffs before we make any assumptions on...
We'll see when Butler outplays him. Either Butler will outplay him or Miami will prevail. That's what's going to happen. I'll just tell you that much.
I don't know if Miami will prevail.
Nah, I do.
I think that TJ McConnell was the best. Like, he had the best performance by any Pacer in this game.
He's good.
No, he is, yeah. He's honestly my favorite Pacer bench player.
Ooh. Oh, I thought you were going to say favorite Pacer. Your favorite Pacer is, I mean, obviously TJ Warren's probably number one because of the recency, but it's Victor, right? That's your favorite Pacer?
No, it's not Victor. Ooh. It was Sabonis. I've always liked Miles too, but Miles can be frustrating at times.
Yeah. It's not Victor? Ooh, that's my favorite Pacer. Him and Brogdon, it's tough.
Victor was good about 2 years ago, and he still is a good player. It's just, there's a lot of trouble with what he brings.
I love that guy. Really? You think so?
He's so on the edge of whether he wants to play, whether he wants to even be on the team, how much he even likes basketball.
Oh, come on. I think the injury messed him up.
Must have messed up his head because he's playing for money, it feels like.
Wow. You're gonna say about Victor Oladipo? That dude gives it. That dude really cares. You don't think so?
No, I'm happy that he's playing. But
like, there's no mailing it in with Victor Oladipo. Yeah, I don't think he's that type of guy to just mail in a random game. Even the stars will mail in games at times. Like, I'll see James Harden mail in a game. I'll see Davis, like, mail in a game. I don't see that from him, to be honest with you.
I haven't seen Victor Oladipo win us a game this year.
I mean, he just came back from an injury. Like a really big one. I don't know anyone who's been the same. You know what? That's not true. But with the exception of Russell Westbrook, I can't think of anybody in recent memory who, as soon as they got back from a major surgery, was 100%, like, with it. Russell Westbrook's the only person I can think of that was completely fine.
Mm.
I can't remember if KD got surgery when he hurt his leg, because he was basically the same guy. But
we'll see about that.
Like, you know what I mean? That's a bit like Paul George barely Paul George made the All-Star game the year after, but it was only because of an injury. He originally wasn't selected for the All-Star game in 2018.
Paul George was great that year. Paul George was great that year. He came back from the injury. Yeah, he was MVP candidate.
That was 2019.
No, for the first half of the season, when he came back from injury, he was an MVP candidate.
You talk about with the Pacers?
Yes, he was averaging 30 in January or December.
On the Thunder that first year, he struggled. And I don't know if that had to do with Westbrook or whatever, but he like barely made the All-Star game. He was only averaging like 21 a game.
I mean, you're saying that Paul George was only elected an All-Star because of his injury when he first came back? He was...
Someone else got injured, and then he got in.
With the Pacers?
No, with the Thunder.
Oh, okay.
With the Thunder is what I'm talking about. Like, the first full season. Like, these half seasons, I don't want to take that into account. I want to see... I think Vic will be fine next full season. I think he'll be, like, 85% of himself at least.
Well, Paul George got injured, and he got injured, and then he came back. And there were, like, 2 years with the Pacers, I think. So...
Really, two? I thought it was just that half, and then he was like, I'm done, I want to be traded.
No, there was a lot more than that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, he got injured in 2016, the summer.
Uh-huh.
Did he not get traded a year later in 2017?
He got injured in 2014, because he was out the 2014-15 season. And then he came back for the 15-16 season.
That long ago? See, I thought it was 2016 because that was the FIBA thing.
No, the FIBA's
And then he got injured and everyone was dropping out?
The FIBA's every 2 years. I mean, every 4 years, but like in between the Olympic years. So if the Olympics is 2012 and 2016, FIBA will be 2014.
Wow, it was that long ago?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I actually don't remember that. Yeah, you're right. Well, so, you know, I guess Paul George then, because he's better. He hasn't made it to the playoffs as far, which, I mean, that's kind of saying something, but, like, he's still kind of the same player. But this doesn't happen a lot. And I don't think Victor Oladipo is the player Paul George is. So, like, Paul George is, like, a borderline, if not he is, top 10 player. I don't think Vic is.
I could see that.
I just want to like cut him slack. But no, I really think that game was kind of telling. Although you guys shot bad, honestly, if Sabonis was playing, I'd probably pick you guys. Crazy as it sounds, I never thought that. But
I don't think Sabonis will play that game though, or any game until.
No, yeah, he won't. But I'm just saying, like, if he did, I'd pick the Pacers.
Unless we get to the second round. I can't see Sabonis playing a game.
Maybe. Who knows?
Let's talk about the Suns, though. Unless, is that too soon?
No, you're good. So, I'm watching the Suns-Thunder game, right? Like I mentioned earlier, no Steven Adams, no Shai Gilgeous, no Schroeder. And Shai Gilgeous and Dennis Schroeder are their second and third primary ball handlers. So, when PG went... Not PG. I got not PG on the brain. When CP went out, it was kind of like a free for all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really take much of it because I don't think any of them, no one can like handle the ball in that type of game, especially because the Suns are like playing really hard. Like, their three. I mean, how many teams are fine if they lose their three primary ball handlers? I get Schroeder comes off the bench, but for what he brings and what Shai brings, Darius Bazley got the start, and I actually thought. I think he played really well. Cameron Johnson played well. I really feel like I've noticed this a lot, but in the bubble, I just feel like a ton of random young players are playing well. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong.
Gary Trent.
Some of these guys.
Darius Bazley, Cam Johnson, all these guys.
I just think some of these guys had these kind of games before. It's just like a lot of people just didn't recognize them. But then again, there are certain guys like Cameron Johnson, Gary Trent. But
this Phoenix Suns team. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say Actually, you go first. What were you going to say?
I was going to say part of me feels like some guys are playing well because there's no fans and it's less of a spotlight. But, I mean, if anything, more people are probably watching the NBA. So I don't know how true that is.
Yeah. It could be the no fans thing. It also could be that shooters are just shooting a lot better in a closed gym like this. I was just going to talk about the Suns, though. Like, defensively, they've been greatly improved. Like, they're one of the best defensive teams in the bubble. And prior to the bubble, they were nowhere near a good defensive team, let alone average.
They were horrible. Bridges, they won 19 games last year. Season in the West.
No, Bridges really held his ground when he was playing the Pacers and TJ Warren. And he's been shooting great from the field. He's had some decent games. I think DeAndre Ayton is finally finding his role. I never thought that he could be one of the best players on a contending team.
He missed the first quarter of that Thunder game because he missed like a coronavirus test, so he had to miss the first quarter. Imagine that happens in the playoffs. PG misses the first quarter of like a game 6 against the Lakers or something like that.
Yeah, I was wondering why he wasn't playing.
Yeah, literally, he just missed a test.
Yeah, that's weird. But
it's kind of crazy.
Rubio's been playing good, and Devin Booker, obviously. I'd have him higher on my list now. He's been playing amazing.
I know I ranked him higher. But I can't remember exactly where we ranked him. I had him around like 20.
I think you had him around there, yeah.
I think I had him like 21 or 22. I'm pretty sure he was right after Donovan Mitchell. I feel like I had Donovan Mitchell like one spot ahead of him. I think Booker was one of those.
I think Booker was 22 for you.
Probably around there. But he's been great. And to be honest with you, I mean, he had 35 points and 4 assists that game. I still think he's kind of a mess on defense. And CP forced Booker into a travel and picked his pocket in like back-to-back plays. I still think it was kind of like a big brother, little brother thing with CP and Booker, even though, you know, the stats wouldn't say that. I just think CP's feel of the game is way better than Booker's. But, I mean, Booker looks really promising. Like, before, everyone would tell me how good Devin Booker is, and I'd watch these Suns games, and not that he'd seem disengaged, but it just didn't seem, I don't know if that's fair. I was going to say that if it didn't seem like life or death to him, I just couldn't understand why they were losing. But
yeah, I don't think he's
a good stats, bad team guy. I think he generally just has really bad team. I mean, just really bad teammates and was, you know, having a frustrating time winning. But it didn't make sense to me. I can understand why they wouldn't make the playoffs in the West, but it didn't understand to me why like they weren't even close. You know what I mean? The Suns were never in talks of the playoffs with Booker. Last time they were close was like 2014. I mean, until now.
I think Monty Williams has been great as a coach for the Suns.
Yeah, really, yeah, that's right. He's had like 5 Booker, different coaches.
Yeah, he's held Booker accountable. Like, he's made sure that Booker isn't just seeing the floor from a scoring aspect, and that he's got to manage his fouls, stuff like that. And
yeah.
I also think Cameron Payne and Dario Saric have been great off the bench.
Cameron Payne, of all people, giving them minutes. I thought that dude was done. So props to him. I thought he was done.
Amazing. He's played amazing. Yeah,
he was a mess in that Suns 76ers game that we're about to get to, but no, he's been playing well in the bubble. Yeah, CP, I mean, he wasn't even supposed to play originally, but he decided to just because he wanted to, and I really love that. I don't enjoy when, not that I don't get that guys need a rest, but like, remember when Damian Lillard said that he wasn't even going to play if they weren't, like, close to the playoffs? It's kind of crazy how things have changed so much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't like when guys are sitting out in, like, random spots in the season. You know what I mean? I don't care if they take a few games off, but when you're routinely under 70 games, that just kind of bugs me, if that makes sense.
You feel that way about Kawhi?
Yeah. Oh, he's the number one person it bugs me about. Like, how is it that just no matter what, he won't play a back-to-back? Like, it's just this unwritten rule where no matter what, whether the world's being taken over by aliens or it's just a normal day in LA, he will not play a back-to-back. I don't understand that. Just no matter what.
Does he have his body's
great that day or whatever, just he won't. He just can't do it.
I know.
Why?
Well, I heard he has like a degenerative condition.
What? Like with his knee?
I don't know, honestly. I just know that it's like, well, if he's playing high intensity games, he should be able to play those back-to-backs. I think he's just being
I don't get it. He played
overly cautious.
He played 20-something straight games last playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he started load managing before that. So,
it's crazy to me that the Suns are a 7-0 team. It's just absurd.
I'm not going to lie. A lot of their wins don't impress me. Like the Thunder game and like the Sixers game. Neither one impressed. The Thunder win sort of impressed me because they won by so much, and that's what they're supposed to do. So I'm not going to dock them for that.
Wait, you don't think the Suns have been impressive, or?
I mean, they haven't had. They've had an easier schedule.
I don't think that at all, actually.
What? You don't?
They took down Dallas, LA, Indiana, Miami, OKC, Philadelphia.
Yeah, but you look. Okay, OKC game. Shea, Schroeder, and Steven Adams missed the game. Philly game. Embiid, Horford, Tobias Harris missed the game. Like, you know, in these games, these players are missing. And you can go on lists and be like, this team's great, this team's great. In that Miami game, I don't think Jimmy Butler played.
Like, he beat a fully healthy Indiana team, and I'm pretty sure LA might have been fully healthy. I'm pretty sure they were.
Yeah, but, I mean, how hard are the Clippers trying to win?
No, like, the Lakers. It was like their third game.
It was Clippers when he hit that crazy game Booker.
Oh no! What am I saying? Clippers.
When he hit that crazy game winner in PG's face, like, and also the Lakers don't care either. But the Clippers don't care about these games.
You can't use that as an excuse.
Beat them?
That they don't care.
No, I can actually because they don't care.
Then who cares? Like, if we're
the Clippers don't because their seed is set and they haven't cared this whole season. Has Trez played a minute yet?
I don't know.
Lou Will's missed time. Has Pat Bev played a minute yet? PG's missed games. Kawhi missed games. I mean, just in our game, Nets Clippers, PG missed.
Well, Kawhi and PG were playing the Suns game. And if you're just going to say who cares, you can really go down every top 15 team and just say they don't care to win this game.
That's not true.
Okay,
Clippers haven't cared this whole season. What makes you think they care now?
No, they care when they roll out Kawhi and PG out there.
Against the Lakers, they care, but I've seen games where it's not 100%. Sorry, PG's played over 30 minutes like 5 times.
I can't believe you're not getting the Suns enough credit for their 7-0 run. Like, they've played amazing competition.
No, I am, but people are acting like they're a top 5 team in the league.
Well, they've been playing like a top 5 team in the bubble.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying they are a top 5 team in the league, but they have been definitely playing like a top 5 team in the bubble, and you have to give them that. There's an argument to be made they've been the best team in the bubble, and that's not even anything crazy. Like, they're 7-0 against great competition.
Yeah, Butler didn't even play in that Miami game.
Okay,
so,
but
their best player was out.
This is my thing.
Compared to Memphis, I think their schedule's been way easier. I feel like Memphis has just got tough breaks.
Look, you don't just look down a schedule and say, is this team better than this team? They should win. If that was the case, the Milwaukee Bucks would be like pretty much 60-10 right now, or like
they almost are.
Like 65-7 or something. Like, it's even if on paper or whatever the team isn't fully healthy or whatever, it's not easy to win 7 games in a row, no matter who you're.
No, I'm giving them credit. It's just like I just think, you know, I mean, how many teams have gone on a win streak? Like, I feel like this stuff happens, and I think it's just a huge story because so many people are paying attention to the NBA right now. I feel like if this was happening in the middle of February, no one would bat an eye. Is that fair?
Well, it's not in the middle of February because you chose the 22 best teams to be in the bubble. It's a totally different scenario. Like, you literally...
I just gave you three of their big wins where guys didn't, where the other team they were playing, their best players didn't play.
But you didn't mention the LA win and the Indiana win.
Oh, yeah. All right. They had two big wins. And the only bubble teams have had two big wins.
Dallas was a big win.
Luka and Porzingis played that game?
Yeah.
All right. So they've had. I'm not saying. I don't want to like bag on them because I think they've done great and Booker's proved a lot and I love it. Like that Clippers game.
Kind of are bagging on them though. You are bagging on them. Like,
I mean, they could win out right now and still not make the playoffs.
I get it, but it just shows how impressive they've been. I think you're just underrating the fact that. They were so bad prior to the bubble that you're like so focused on that. Like if Steph Curry came back and Klay was in the bubble and they went 8-0 against the same array of teams, that would probably be impressive to you, wouldn't it?
Do you think they're better than Memphis?
Yes.
Really?
You think they're not better than Memphis?
No. Memphis has been better. First of all, Memphis has been better this whole year. And I know it's come down to this bubble and Memphis has looked bad. But when you look at Memphis's schedule, there hasn't been one easy game, I don't think.
In the year as a whole, they have the same record. So I don't want to hear that they've been better this whole year.
They were better this whole year until the bubble. Now Memphis lost 7 and they won 7. That means if they were... like 14 games back, they'd be equal. And being 14 games back is so huge. But Memphis lost every game and they won. It's just this little stretch. And again, look at Memphis's schedule. Every game, they're playing the starters. The starters are in playing 30 plus minutes. I don't want to take away anything from the Suns. I just don't think they're as good as Memphis or Portland.
I don't know why you're fixing your narrative so that the bubble means less than a non-bubble environment or whatever?
No, it doesn't, but 60-plus games means more than 8.
In all those games combined, they have the same record. And the hotter team right now, the hotter team against better competition has been Phoenix.
This is all recency bias.
I mean, Memphis isn't pulling off seven wins against good teams.
I just gave you three that weren't good, that the starters didn't play. And I'm pretty sure one of those wins also that Phoenix had came against, like, Washington.
OKC is still good without Chris Paul. And I think the Heat are still good without Adebayo. And the Philly game...
No, the Heat were missing Butler.
I mean...
He's their best player.
That's what I meant. I meant they're still good with Adebayo. I think Adebayo's their best player.
That is true. You do think that. I just for everything that they've done, they could win out and still not. Yeah, they beat Washington the first game with no Beal. Like, what am I supposed to make of that? Like, am I supposed to get like hype over that win? I don't get it.
I haven't even talked about that game. I'm talking the other six games.
I just gave you three games. Look, Thunder game, three of their best four players were missing. Philly game, their four best players were missing. Embiid, Horford, Tobias Harris, and Ben Simmons didn't play. And in the Miami game, Butler didn't play. That's three games plus Washington, where it's like three of those games they're playing teams that don't care, and in one of those games they're playing Washington, who was.
What do you mean a team that doesn't care? You cannot.
What do you mean they're resting guys so they don't care? We just went over this.
The Clippers you're talking about?
No.
Okay, so they beat the Clippers. Give them due credit for that.
All right, Chicago beat the Clippers. Are they amazing?
They didn't beat them in the bubble when the Clippers were fighting for a two seed.
They beat them. when the Clippers were actually the third seed, I think, behind Denver.
Were Kawhi and PG playing?
I don't think Kawhi played, but PG played like 40 minutes and dropped like 50.
Okay, when Kawhi and PG are in, then we can talk. That's a serious team when Kawhi and PG are playing. Because when Kawhi's playing, he is not...
The team they lost against when both were playing and like it wasn't anything. Like, literally, it's 8 games. Can we stop overreacting?
This is not an overreaction. The Suns have been the best team in the bubble.
So they're the best team now in the bubble.
They have been the best team in the bubble.
All right, we'll talk when they make the playoffs. All right, they've been playing like the
best team in the bubble. They've gone 7-0. Name a team that's played better in the bubble.
Name a team that's played better.
Yeah.
I mean the top teams. I mean the Lakers haven't cared at all because their seed is locked. And in the very few games they have cared, they've won.
The Lakers have not played better than the Suns in the bubble.
No, I'm saying they haven't, but it's because they don't care. They're the one seed. Why would they care? You know what I'm saying?
No, they care at this point.
LeBron has missed games. AD has missed games. Like, what are we talking about here?
Look at LeBron's minutes the past 3 games. They're trying to figure out a crisis right now. There's no I don't care anymore.
It's a crisis now. It's a crisis now, and they're the one seed. Doesn't seem like a crisis to me. They just beat the Clippers.
You're one of those. Okay.
What do you mean I'm one of those?
They have to figure out how they're going to score in the playoffs.
I'm not saying that, but you're acting like, okay, who's better in a vacuum, the Lakers or the Suns?
The Lakers.
All right, so what are we talking about here?
Who's been playing better?
Yeah, well, who cares? It's 8 games. Dude, why do you care about 8 games so much?
8 games is more than a 7-game series. Come playoff time, the hotter team. I'm just saying that the Suns have been playing better in a playoff-like environment. We were just talking about how this has been a playoff-like environment, no?
All right, so if the Suns make the 8th seed, and when they play the Lakers in the first round and either lose in 4 or lose by 3 because they end the series early because there's just no point in playing it, then we'll talk, okay?
Okay, I just want to say LeBron's played like 34 minutes in all OKC and Houston game. 34 minutes.
In which games? The OKC Houston games?
No, 34 minutes in every game except the OKC and Houston.
Oh. Well, he's also missed a game. I don't know which one that is. It might be
Houston. Houston.
Oh, it's Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he missed a game. I'm pretty sure Davis missed a game. There was a game where, like, Davis was on... Like, why would the Lakers care so much? The one seed is locked up. Like, I don't think they're going out there trying to win as much as the Suns. So I think it's unfair to be like, the Suns are playing better than them right now. Like, when the Lakers did care all season, it was over for everyone. And everyone was saying they were the best team in the league. So, I mean, we can get into this. Like, just in that Sixers game, no Embiid, no Horford, no Tobias. And by the way, Embiid played like 5 minutes in their last game before that. Is he hurt too, like Simmons? Or is it just like a load management type thing?
No, he's hurt.
Well, regardless. Oh, by the way, I just got a notification. Giannis is suspended for 1 game after he headbutted Mo Wagner in the Wizards game. So he's going to be out, and that's big because that's versus the Grizzlies.
I still think they're going to beat the Grizzlies.
Ooh.
They're a great team without Giannis, though.
Well, if the Grizzlies beat the Bucks and Portland takes care of business, that's the 8-9. That's the 8-9 matchup because Portland has actually moved up to the 8th seed. And
I don't want to see Memphis in the 8-9. I don't want to see Memphis anywhere near the play-in. Give me San Antonio or give me Phoenix. I don't want to see Memphis. They're nowhere near the teams that Phoenix and San Antonio have been.
Well, so the 76ers started Kylo Quinn. I just want to get in this game real quick. San Antonio's been great, and so has Phoenix. They have been playing better recently. I'll give you that. But I still want to give Memphis their props just because what they did all season. And I think they've gotten like Phoenix. I just gave you 4 games where Memphis hasn't gotten one of those quote unquote easy games where a star player is not playing or they're playing like Washington. And, you know, I'm just saying, like, but 76ers, they started Kylo Quinn, Mike Scott, and I want to get happy for the Suns because they're playing so well. And they haven't been like that all year, and it's big. You know what I mean? Like, they look like a different team in the bubble. But I thought they should have won by way more. I wasn't impressed with the win. Raul Nato or...
A win is a win.
He gave them 20. Also, by the way, Matisse Thybulle, I'm watching him in this game, and I don't think I've seen a better rookie defender in my life. Like, recently. I don't think I've seen a better rookie defender that came in the league and gave superstars problems. And you could see it with Devin Booker in that game. He started off 2-for-8 with Thybulle on him. And as soon as Thybulle would go out, Booker would like get way more aggressive and get to the line, get fouled. Shot a ton of free throws this game. And it's just, Thybulle eventually got into foul trouble, and it was just these stupid fouls where Booker would be running and then stop, like, really quickly, and Thybulle will like barely nick him, and Booker will throw it up. And I see this in every game, and it frustrates me just to no ends, because you can't touch anyone on defense. You really can't. And with being a defensive player, you have to account for so many things. Like, I have to give him room. I can't bump him at all. When he's driving, I can't reach. And if I do, I have to touch only the ball. If I just nick his finger, it's a foul. I can't go across his body. If he gets me on his backside and I'm trailing behind him, I have to stop. And I can't even run because he'll just stop and either get some dumb foul called. When he's running and he gets super low and puts his shoulder down, then I have to make sure I'm in this position with my feet. As an offensive player, it's like, all right, let me just get a bucket. It's so much easier to be an offensive player than a defensive player in this league. And I don't like it.
I don't agree with that. A better offensive player than a good defensive player.
It's easier to impact a game and be more effective, I feel like, in this league on offense than defense. You can't touch anyone. You can't touch anyone on defense. How do you not see that when you watch these games?
I know, but you're saying it's easier to be more effective on defense than offense? I mean,
no,
more
in this league, it's easier to make an impact on a game on offense than defense. How many guys can impact the game like as much as someone
can
score
30
with their defense?
But you were wording it as if offense was
easier than
defense.
I did not mean it like that. In this league, offense is easier. Yeah, in this league, offense is easier. For sure.
As a whole, I wouldn't go there.
I think, you know how hard it is? Like, defense is so hard in this league because you just can't touch anyone. There's so much that has to take into account. If you could spot up and shoot, you're a good offensive player. You know what I'm saying?
You can also catch a lot of breaks because of an opponent missing a shot or someone bringing help.
No, but that's not being a good defender. I'm saying, like, making great defensive plays. I'm not saying getting lucky on bailout shots. Like, I'm saying you making plays on defense. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't mean empty, like, box scores where, like, you held the team to this field goal percentage. I mean, like, in the game, how well a defender's playing and how much of an impact he's making.
I agree with that. I just think that people don't understand entirely how good certain people are on defense. Like, a lot of people just look at defense based on size and stature and wingspan?
No. It's none of that. Even though Thybulle is huge because literally his octopus arms with his,
like, I guarantee you,
wingspan, but he'll make like three great decisions on a rotation and force a miss, and it's just beautiful to watch. Thybulle was amazing this game. I thought he was, except for the foul trouble, just on defense.
I guarantee you the majority of NBA fans who don't watch basketball like that believe that CJ McCollum is a bad defender just because of his size. Like, that's probably what we've come to now.
Chris Paul is one of the best defensive guards, and look at his size.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul has been in the league long enough where people actually acknowledge how good his defense is.
And he's got, like, defensive teams. But I'll give you someone like De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox isn't big. Like, he's kind of a skinny guy. He's not that tall, but I think De'Aaron Fox is great on defense.
Yeah, like,
by the way, De'Aaron Fox in that Rockets game, you want to hear his stat line after you disrespected him? He had 26 points and 9 assists, shot 53%, only 2 turnovers. Just want to point that out.
Part of this. Where are the Kings in the standings?
Bro, look at his teammates. Come on now. Buddy Hield has been on minutes restriction. Bagley's not even playing. Come on, don't do that. Corey Joseph's like their third best player.
We could have been saying the same thing about Booker's teammates had he not been playing like this.
No, but I actually think Booker is better teammates. I actually know that.
He does. I mean, it's easier to say that in retrospect, but...
No, I've always thought that.
Had the Kings been up in the standings where the Suns were right now and had Buddy Hield been shooting lights out, it might not be the same story.
Yeah, but Buddy Hield's not shooting lights out.
I'm just saying, it's all like... It all depends on, like, how good a team is playing. Like I said before, if a team is playing well, it just... Everyone feels like those role players are better.
Well, yeah, because that's what makes them better. But, like, for example, Damian Lillard before this hiatus, before, like, the coronavirus, I honestly thought he was having one of his best years. I thought he was having a career year. He was averaging, like, 29-8. He was being efficient. He was shooting, like, 45%, 46%, shooting, like, 39, 38, 40 from three. It's just they lost all their wing defenders, and they couldn't stop anyone. But Damian Lillard has always been that type of player where he's not going to lock someone up. So, I didn't think anything changed with Lillard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they lost because their role players were bad. I thought Lillard was actually, you can make an argument, he was playing better since the previous year. He's an MVP candidate, just they're losing.
Who is better, Lillard or Paul George?
Just who's better?
Yeah.
This year?
Just in general. Who's better?
Like, for their careers?
No, just like in general. Who's the better player?
Right now, if I'm drafting a team to go into these playoffs and like a season, I'd pick Lillard over PG.
I think just Lillard.
From that Thunder series.
I think most people would take Lillard, and it's an easy question. Now, it's every not Lillard an easy that question. We, I think every.
It's not an easy question though.
I think most people would take Lillard, but I think every.
Wait, after you just dropped 60 and then 50, Jesus.
I think even prior to that, people would have took Lillard, but I think. Most of the reasons you have for Lillard are about the same you would have for Steph Curry and KD.
Like just how great they are on offense?
Yeah.
I also think Lillard's like A-plus teammate.
Yeah, and so is Steph. And Lillard took down Paul George like Steph took down Kevin Durant. I don't know. It kind of...
Had to add that.
It is like the same kind of argument, whereas you're like, oh, Paul George can do all of this. He's 6'8". He's a good 2A player. But let's be real, who's making the bigger impact on the game? Like that, like the reasons why we have Lillard over Paul George is the same reasons why we should have Steph Curry over Kevin Durant.
No, I disagree. It's just different players. Not that I disagree in where you end up, because who knows, when their careers are done, I don't know where I would place Steph or Durant. I mean, the jury's still out on this one, I think, in my opinion. But, I mean, like, I don't like comparing players and being like, just because they have similar play styles. Like, you wanted to use Brandon Ingram as an argument to not help KD.
I don't think that's what I said. I just think that...
You were like, hasn't Brandon Ingram kind of shown us that KD isn't all that? You literally said that.
Something like that.
Yeah, but look at Jason Tatum. I think he's a similar player to KD. And
player in the league. The reason why Jason Tatum isn't like Brandon Ingram is because, first of all, I think Jason Tatum is as good as a defender Kevin Durant is, first of all.
I agree with that. I don't know what better. Pretty even.
I think so. Also, the system that Brad Stevens runs isn't close to what Brandon Ingram and Kevin Durant plan, which is why Kevin Durant and Brandon Ingram would hurt their teams, whereas Jason Tatum would be a huge benefit.
So KD hurts his teams, and Jason Tatum doesn't.
No, it's just
KD's two Finals MVPs. He hurts the team, right?
I rephrased that wrong.
He doesn't hurt the team. He makes the team better.
Like his style of play hurts the cap of the team. Like,
really?
I'd
actually disagree. I think he plays off ball, and I think in the waning seconds of games, I think he gets the ball because he's the best score they have.
I also think he disrupts the flow that the Warriors constantly had before.
I mean, they won two championships.
They did, but that's just because of an overwhelming talent. Like, they should not have gone to seven in a lot of these series.
So what, that's all on Durant?
Well, I wouldn't say it's all on Durant because Durant...
It's not.
He evened it out, but I think that... I think that there could have been more, and he kind of did his own little thing on it.
All right, enough of your Durant disrespect. I can't wait next year when he's back with the Nets. Speaking of the Nets, you want to talk about good bubble teams. The Nets are 5-2, and we beat the Clippers and the Bucks. So what's up?
Paul George wasn't playing.
Yeah, I knew you'd mention that.
The Bucks, Giannis wasn't playing the second half.
We were up in the first half when Giannis and Chris Middleton played, so I don't want to hear it. And I already went through the players who didn't play for us.
And Steph Curry was up.
Not even counting Dinwiddie, Kyrie, and Durant. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Angel Harris also missed the game. Our six best players missed the game, and we won. Our six best players.
And Steph Curry was up 3-1 on LeBron, and they were missing Bogut and Iguodala, but things happen. All right.
Are those that compares to nothing what we're losing? That was a horrible example. Anyway, let me see this Clippers game. So the Nets we're scorching hot in the first quarter. Joe Harris is hitting step back threes. Caris LeVert is getting and ones on Kawhi. Like, everything's going great. LeVert has 17 points, 7 assists in the first freaking quarter. And none of it was forced. Like, everything was in the flow of the offense. Like, you want to talk about Steph Curry. It was just beautiful to watch. And honestly, look, I know a lot of Nets fans are going to disagree with us, but Dinwiddie is not better than Caris LeVert. He's just not. And
agreed.
If the team is going to succeed with Durant and Kyrie holding the reins, Caris LeVert has to be our third best player. Not only does his style of play fit more as a third best player than Dinwiddie because Dinwiddie dribbles the air out of the ball, but also, like, he's just better. So... It fits with the style of play, and he's better, but I digress. Anyway.
Dinwiddie's got to come off the bench next year. Or
He will.
Yeah, or I would trade him.
He's not going to start over Caris and Kyrie. What, Caris going to come off the bench? And there's no way they try to start all three, because that's not going to work. Joe Harris should start, I think.
Yeah, he should.
Those three should start, and then, like, I think Durant and Jared Allen.
Yeah, sounds good on paper, but... You have Kyrie Irving on that team.
Wait, let's just go on paper. Is this not a contender on paper? Come on, this is easily a contender on paper.
On paper, Paul George and Monte Ellis look pretty good. I mean,
oh, stop it. Monte Ellis or Kyrie, PG or Kevin Durant. Like, stop making these bogus examples.
I've never been with Kyrie like everybody else is. I've always said Kyle Lowry is better player than Kyrie Irving.
You're not a fan of Kyrie or Durant, so
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of guys who give up winning situations to prove something. Like, what do you have to prove?
They both have that in common. No, you're right. Your criticisms are fair.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not there with the Nets guys. I don't think their intentions are all in winning. So
see, I disagree. I think they left to prove they can win on their own. So I think they really want to win, just on their own terms.
I still think that's a terrible mentality to have.
Yeah, but would you agree with that, though? They left on their own terms? I think everyone would agree with that.
If you want to prove that you want to,
but they want to win
on your own terms, that only means you want to prove that you're better than people think you are. Whereas you would just want to have the best chance to win, you would stay. Like, if you're in it to win, you stay with the better team. If you want to prove that you can win, you just want to prove that you're a better player than people think you are.
I don't know. I mean, I'm watching the Nets in these games, and I remember watching the first game against Orlando, and we looked so bad. I got so bummed out. I was so hyped to watch the Nets, but I was like, if we're just going to play it, this is going to suck. And that, but we've been 5-1 since then. Our only loss was to... I can't even remember it, actually. It was the second game, too. Or was it the third? No, we beat Washington. And anyways, it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, we played great in this game. Kawhi started to take over, honestly. in the late second quarter and early third quarter, it was kind of scary. Terrence Mann, of all people, was playing well in defense. Another young guy who was playing great in that game. He's playing well in defense and awesome and in offense. But our core three, Joe Harris, Caris LeVert. I mean, Caris had 27 points, 13 assists. Jared Allen had 16 and 16. Those three are the ones I'm really zoning in on, and they've all played amazing. And I really hope we can make it work and fit in when KD and Kyrie come back. But this team is really talented. Tyler Johnson hit the dagger three. Thought he played really well. Like, this team has guys, I'm saying. And I think a lot of teams can't win when you're missing. Okay, we're missing three of our best four players right now. Dinwiddie, KD, Kyrie. How many teams would still be winning? We're 5-2 without their without three of their four best players. I mean, look at Philly.
No, you guys might finish 500 on the year, but I don't think that it's that easy to just seamlessly fit in your best players, no matter how good the team is doing.
No, I know, which is why I'm concerned. But I'm saying, like, how many teams could do this? Is what I'm like. How many teams are as deep as us? Whereas, like, the best guys aren't there. Like, so what? We're still gonna be, you know, engaged, and we're still going to make an impact in every game. Like, how good would – what's a good example? How good would Milwaukee be without Giannis, Chris, and Bledsoe?
They wouldn't be a bad team.
I don't think they'd make the playoffs.
I think they're right there in 7-8. But I was going to say –
Well, look at that. They're the best record in the league. And you think they'd be 7 or 8? That's exactly where we were. Which makes me feel like this could work, but it's all on KD and Kyrie.
It is, because Caris LeVert right now is playing with the role of the best player.
And he's amazing.
You put him at number three, you don't know how it's going to be.
Yeah, I know. It's way different. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying, for what we have now, like we have legit players in our team, and that's not even including Kyrie and KD. I don't know what to expect, because this team's going to be way different. I'm just really hoping it works, because I think we have the talent. You know, I feel like it'd be more frustrating to lose when you don't have the talent, and it's like your team plays really well together, but you're just not talented enough. I think it's more frustrating when you're talented like Philly, but it's not working.
See, being a Pacers fan, I'm not with you there. Frustrating not having the talent.
I've endured the dark times. But I like teams that really care. Like, just last year when we were the sixth seed in 2019, when we were the sixth seed, every game was just so enjoyable to watch. Like, we had the whole bench mob thing. I've never had such fun being a Nets fan watching that team. It was so enjoyable because they were enjoyable about it. They loved playing together. I don't like it when teams are not happy together and are extremely talented, because it's like, we could be so much better with this roster, but we're just not getting there.
No, I get it, but as a
Patriot, if I was a 76ers fan, I'd be like ripping my eyeballs out watching them, because I know that they have two of the best 15 guys in the league, debatably, but they're the sixth seed.
No, I get that, but growing up as a Pacers fan, it's like when you don't have the talent, it's like every year, it's like, all right, who are the contenders?
And yeah, but imagine your team was loaded with talent, but you still couldn't win.
Would you rather be a Pacers or a Philly fan right now?
I mean, the Sixers are injured now, and Pacers.
Well, now you could say that.
I'd always rather be a Pacers fan.
But 5 games ago, it was that Sixers had an upside.
No, I still would have picked Pacers. They're a higher seed. What are you talking about? Philly was about to get bounced against Boston. With Simmons or not, they were losing to Boston. Indiana could beat Miami.
It's like, would you rather be a Nuggets or a Rockets fan?
See, I actually think Russ and James play well together, so.
I mean.
We disagree.
Okay. Well, if this is them playing well together, they're in for a hard one in the playoffs.
They're the third best team in the West. I'll say it again.
No, they're not. OKC is.
James will prove you wrong. I hope they play OKC. These 4-5 matches will be really fun.
OKC would beat them. And I don't think it's even Like,
I think it's going to happen because Utah is 6 right now and Denver's 3. OKC and Houston are 4-5. Yeah.
We're going to see
it.
I can't wait. I can't wait for our playoff predictions.
Now I can't wait.
Brackets are going to be set in about...
Next podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm picking the Nets too. We're going to roll Toronto.
I hope you don't any picks like that.
Would you agree with this, though, that we're better than the Magic? Like, we are the 7th seed. We're the 7th best team in the East. Could we agree on that?
Like, without Kevin and Kyrie?
Yeah, even without. We're still better than them.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. What, you think with them we're not? I was about to say. Because you were like, with them?
No, I was just wondering, like wait. I don't think you're 7 if you have them.
Yeah, where do you think we're... What seed are we? Let's say Durant, Kyrie have been healthy this whole year. What seed are the Nets right now?
5? Assuming everyone in the East stays, I would say...
What do you think? 5?
4. Oh, seed or how good you guys are?
Seed.
What seed would you guys be?
Yeah, what do you think we are?
A 4 or 5.
All right, how good do you think we are?
4 or 5.
Wow.
I don't think you're better than Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston.
I think in the regular season, we aren't better than Milwaukee, but I think in a playoff series, we have the best player on the floor.
I think you're going to see that the Raptors are going to be able... I don't think the
Raptors I'd be more scared of than Milwaukee, honestly.
I don't think the Raptors are incapable of shutting anyone down. Even Kevin Durant. As great of a scorer as Kevin Durant is...
No, you don't shut down Kevin Durant. You, like, shut him down, like, less than 10 points?
Okay, you don't shut down... All right, then in that case, the Raptors haven't shut down anyone. Like, LeBron James... What they did to LeBron, what they've done to...
Well, Kevin Durant's a better scorer than LeBron.
I mean, Steph just... He's that great, but... In terms of LeBron, like Embiid, like guys who you would think are just like unstoppable.
You're about to say Steph, but you're like, no, he didn't. He's that great.
Well, they did kind of limit Steph. Steph would have went on for
35. They
definitely limited Steph.
But I mean, they should, especially in a playoff atmosphere where, like, I mean, can they limit Damian Lillard? I'd want to see that. Lillard just on fire.
Question. Yeah. Lakers,
come on.
I say Lakers too. I just wanted to see where you're at.
All right, so let's finally talk about the Trailblazers. Just want to mention real quickly, the Celtics are like the only team that are like playing their starters routinely. Memphis just played them and just a bad matchup. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Celtics are going to roll them. But in that Magic game that went to OT on Sunday, I'm getting a freaking heart attack because I'm hoping the Nets can keep the 7th seed and the Magic are just staying in with the Celtics, and it was really scaring me because I didn't know if we were going to win. But Tatum came up big in OT and hit 2 huge baskets in the last minute to force OT. Kemba played 32 minutes in that game. That was the big thing. Kemba was at 32 minutes, and that made me feel like Boston's ready to go on a run if Kemba's up there. And Hayward had a great game. Had a huge chase down block with about 3 minutes left. Where's your head on Boston? Don't spoil too much of the next podcast. But
on Boston?
Yeah, like, you're still really high on them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we agree on that.
Like, it's less about how they play against these other teams and how they will play against a top echelon team. Like, I could care less about all the other 6 games. They looked against Toronto.
Yeah, my question was, for this Magic game mostly, I mean, because I wanted them to win, and I think they're going to do really well. My biggest question was them, can they stay healthy? Can Kemba Walker go out there 35 minutes a night? Because that was the biggest question with his knee. But
I don't think he needs to.
If they stay healthy, yeah, he might not even have to, which is crazy. But I'm just saying, like, in the conference finals, if they make it, whatnot.
No, he definitely will. If he doesn't play 35 a game in that
that's what I'm saying. In these playoff games.
No, he will.
Yeah.
35 is nothing for a star in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially a guy like Kemba Walker, who's an all-star. But, no, like, if they stay healthy and Kemba's playing north of 30 minutes in a game against the Magic that means nothing, then he should be good to go in the playoffs, which made me feel better about picking them.
I wish that, I mean, back then, NBA players would play a lot more 48-minute games in the playoffs. You don't really see that from stars anymore. I wish I'd see something like that more.
Like the 48-minute type things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I love the NBA, but just like the league we're in right now, I just don't like. That's not true. I love the NBA. I love where we're at right now. It's just, I don't like, for example, all right, the Mavericks and Jazz, right? Mavericks are 7, the Jazz are the 6th seed. And on, I believe it was Monday. Yeah. So on Monday, the Mavericks are playing the Jazz, right? No Luka, no Porzingis, and no Donovan Mitchell. And it's funny. It only took 6 games in the bubble for players to really start resting. And this is when I really started to notice it. But at that point, they were 2 games behind Utah, right? Dallas.
Okay.
And Utah still had to play 3 games. Dallas had a shot to move up to the 6th seed. They had a realistic shot in that game. And again, the Jazz still won. I mean, not the Jazz. The Mavericks still won, but they didn't play Luka or Porzingis. And the Jazz
They didn't have a shot. They didn't have a shot. Because percentage-wise, they wouldn't have been able to. They would have been like... I you're probably looking at games back in the standings, but in terms of percentage, even if they had the best-case scenario, they would have been like barely under them. In terms of games
they
behind...
They would have made it.
No, they wouldn't have.
Look, they were 2 games behind right before that game was played.
But it's not about games behind.
So what's it about?
Because the Jazz... Because the Mavericks right now are a 43-31 team. Utah's a 43-28 team. It's not so much about the games behind as much as it's about percentage. Like, I've seen cases where a team is less games behind, but percentage-wise, they're worse than them.
True, because you're right, actually. Because Utah had an extra game to play, which made me think, like, oh, if they lose that, then the Mavericks could move in front.
Yeah, no, I actually had to look this up for betting purposes, like...
But I guess
was going to bet on the Mavericks.
I saw that, and I guess not. But I still feel like not necessarily Utah, because if I was Utah, I'd be trying to lose. I'd rather play. I think Houston's a horrible matchup for them, and I wouldn't. If I were Utah, I'd rather play anyone but Houston.
Well, they're playing Denver.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I were them, I'd rather play Denver, just because that Houston matchup has been so bad for them in the last 2 years, especially with the small ball they have now, and the spacing is even more on steroids. But no, yeah, you're right though, because the bubble. But it's just, I've seen this once and I've seen it again, where teams will rest their players even if they have an outside shot of moving up in the seeding. It's just teams will be like, it's more important for our guys to be healthy than for us to move up in the seeding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if Dallas was able to move up, think about it this way. If Dallas was able to move up and Utah drops and Dallas gets Denver and then Utah has to play the Clippers first round, that is night and day of what would normally happen.
Yeah. The thing is, though, the Clippers...
And I just don't like that.
At that point, could have still been interchangeable as well.
We talked about early in the season?
No, like... Just a day or two ago, like the Clippers and Nuggets, like they could have swapped 2 and 3, hypothetically.
No, I know, but at that point of when the game was played, like the Clippers were already like kind of locked in because they were resting guys, and so were the Nuggets.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
and I'm just saying, like, it's not that like no one's showing urgency. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just prefer it in an NBA where the regular season means more. And I think the NBA would too, because the ratings have clearly suffered from it. I just don't like that, how teams are like the guys have such a small percent chance of getting injured on one game. Seeding is everything. Like Milwaukee, for all their struggles, the reason why they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year is because they're seeding. They get Detroit last year, who they blew out in 4, wasn't even close. And then they got a Boston team that was just dying to fall over after Boston barely beat Indiana without Victor Oladipo. And I imagine you watched those games very closely. All those games were close. Am I mistaken?
No, they're close. I just think that we're nearing playoffs really soon.
and Bogdanović was your best scorer. So that Boston beating them, like, they weren't that great of a team, and Milwaukee gets the good matchup, and they got to the Eastern Conference Finals easily in nine games. Yeah, in nine games. But Toronto, on the other hand, Kawhi missed the whole year, basically. Not missed the whole year, but he missed a fourth of the year. He missed 22 games. And it just showed me that he didn't have a lot of urgency. Granted, they won a lot of those games, but it showed me he didn't have a lot of urgency. They get Orlando the first round. Orlando actually steals a game. And then they get this talent-loaded Philly team in the second round who takes them to seven. And if anything, it's just more wear and tear on Kawhi. And I feel like if Kawhi showed more urgency, they could have been the number one seed. That's it. And I don't like how, you know, we just, like, there's less urgency, I feel like, in these games. And it shows, because the fans care less when they just show them by their ratings and whatnot. But no, my bad on the Mavericks-Jazz game. You know, they should be resting their players if they're locked into the seeding. I'm just saying in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. No, I'm with you that players resting is just, it's out of control at this point.
Which is why, and I love watching these Trailblazers game. So let's get into Trailblazers finally. Trailblazers Sixers, that was on Sunday. Bro, Dame just puts the team on his back. Like, it was insane. He just dominated. Even with great defenders like Thibault and Josh Richardson, picking him up at freaking full court. Doesn't matter. Dame gets 51 points and 7 assists. 18 in the fourth quarter. And granted, Josh Richardson was the Philly's leading scorer, 34 points, 6 assists. Al Horford, I thought, played really well. Thibault was making plays. Embiid only played 5 minutes. And in those 5 minutes, shot 1 for 6. I mean, so Alex Burks was playing crunch time. Blazers only won it by 3. But it just goes to show how I think Philly wins this game or has a better chance if Embiid's playing, because guys like Horford and Thibault and Josh Richardson really stepped up. It came down to who's the best player on the court, Thibault, Richardson, or Horford, or Tobias Harris, or Damian Lillard. So Blazers win that game by 3.
Lillard's been playing great. There's so much out there. I don't think I need to speak too much on it just because I feel like everyone knows what Damian Lillard's been doing. But yeah. The big underrated story is that after those two clutch missed free throws, he is 33 of 34 from the line, which is 97%. So he's really responded, which I love to see out of
from the line.
And let me throw this out there. I want to discuss this actually. Is Lillard a superstar?
Yeah. And I don't like when people toss around the term superstar lightly, because it shouldn't be. Actually, you know what? Now I'm rethinking it. No, he's not.
I was thinking because today.
I'm so strict with superstar that I think there's like 4 in the league.
Yeah, maybe I was going to say, I don't think Lillard is a superstar.
No, he's not. Because I'm so strict with it. Here, these are my superstars. Curry, Durant, LeBron, Kawhi. Those you can't debate. Agreed?
Yes, but I would – no, those are indisputable. No, those are indisputable. I'm saying Giannis and Harden, I wouldn't put Giannis there.
Giannis and Harden were the next two I was going to say, where it's like I think Harden is for everything he's proved, and I think Giannis will be there. It's just I don't know if I can put him there yet, which is unfair because I think after these playoffs he'll probably be there. And granted, he probably should be there.
Because my definition of a superstar is – can you be the...
Can I win a championship with you as my best player?
Yeah. And...
I think James Harden proved that in 2018.
I'm saying I think you could have with Harden, but he didn't. So I think he's right there on the brink. And I think depending on this playoffs, like with James Harden, it's all about recency bias. Whatever he does recently, you can just tip him over or budge him back from the superstar line. But I think with Giannis, I've got to see it before I put him into superstar.
And then I'd say that the people that are lurking for superstar status are, I mean, shoot, I wanted to put Embiid there, but I don't know if I can put Embiid in the lurking category. Maybe, but I'd say...
No, we're right? Not putting Embiid there.
I don't think... I think before you could, though.
I don't even think that.
When he was putting up, like, 30 and 15...
And they were the 60?
No, last no when they were the third seed, and he was like ridiculous when he was on that run. Bro, they went. Look, I get it's an all-star game, but they go to him in crunch time. Like, that has to mean something. Where it's like, we have Giannis on our team, but we're gonna give Embiid the ball in crunch time.
Either way, I would put Lillard and Jokic in that next tier.
And no, Anthony Davis. I'd add two more. I'd add three more, actually.
Oh,
and
Luka.
Davis, I actually, honestly, I'd want to throw Davis in the Harden-Giannis category. I can't because he hasn't proven as much, but I think he's that talented. Anyway, the lurking category, I'd throw Tatum in there. I'd throw Luka, and I'd throw Davis also in there. I'd say it's five in the lurking.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah. You know what's crazy? Right around that 10th spot, if everyone's healthy, assuming KD and Steph are the same players they were, you got AD, Jokic, and like Lillard fighting for the 10th. I mean, no, like one of those would be
so talented.
10th best player in the league.
The league is like, see, and that's why I don't like. Can I win it? That's why I kind of don't like saying can I win with you as the best player on our team, because the league is just so top heavy now.
My thing is, can you be the best player on a championship caliber team?
That's well, how James Harden was, but you said he didn't win a championship, so it doesn't count.
That's why I'm more like recency biased with Harden. I mean, I hate to say that I'm recency biased, but it's more like how good has Harden been lately, and that's how like I put him
James
over.
James is a superstar.
I don't know what.
And I'm not the biggest. Superstar? I'm not the biggest Harden fan, but yeah.
Do superstars melt down like that?
Did Curry melt down in 2016? Did Durant melt down in 2016? Did LeBron melt down in 2011?
Curry was injured.
He still played. Stop using that excuse.
But it isn't.
Everyone melts down at least once. It happens to Kobe melted down. Even Jordan melted down in the playoffs once. It happens to everyone.
No, guys melt down. But when melting down becomes a pattern and not a coincidence, like, you can make a case it's a coincidence for. Someone like, I'm trying to think, like Kobe, it might be a coincidence. Like, it's been a pattern for Harden that he melts down.
Not true. Kobe, I can point to multiple playoff series where it happened. Many. I can think of three off the top of my head right now.
I can too, but I also can point to a lot of playoff series where Kobe said, I'm going to prove that wrong. I mean,
I can do the same with Harden. Not that Harden's on Kobe's level, but I'm just saying.
Like who? Like when?
Like when? 2018. Rockets.
But what series Rockets was he Warriors. Outstanding in?
Rockets Warriors.
The thing about Harden is because he's never been on the biggest stage other than that series. And even
that's not true. He made it. That's not true. In 2015, he was in the Western Conference Finals.
And how did he do?
He was on the stage, though. You just said. And they lost to the champs, the Warriors. But I'm just saying, it tends to be a pattern with Harden's career where he constantly loses to Curry with a worse supporting cast.
You make that case last year?
Yeah.
You sound like a guy arguing that Harden is better than Curry.
No, but I'm just saying, I think Curry had better teammates.
That's my thing. Like, I think that the team that wins, people just go, oh, he had the better teammates. Look at how they played. They won.
I don't think that.
You know what I'm saying, though.
I don't do that, though. But you're saying, like, average people. We're not the average NBA fans.
I get it, but I think Harden definitely melted down against the Warriors. That Western Conference Finals, the first one, he had a 3-for-16 game and a 2-for-11 game. And 2-for-11 game was in the closeout game.
He was also a two-time All-Star at that point. Like, you know, I mean, he got there. I thought that was crazy enough. I didn't think it was, like, I didn't expect him to win. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's like a second All-Star game.
But he'd been the best player. That was the third year for him. And it's not like he's gotten better over time because... I mean, he has gotten better over time, obviously. But, like, it's not like his meltdowns have, like, shortened up.
I mean, what? He's a top five player in the league. That's not superstar? We both ranked him top five. That's not superstar?
I don't... Rank superstar based on where you're in the league. I just, you know.
See, I think for this league, because it's so talented, I do that. Because the league is more talented than it's ever been.
See, if Harden was a top three seed right now, I might put him in the superstar status. But he's not. So, can't.
I mean, they were the one seed in 2018. Like, I'm just saying. In 2019, CP, Eric Gordon, Capella, they were all hurt. And it was crazy that he got them to a four seed. And they were like they were half a game behind the second seed. It was this one Thunder game that was huge, and they ended up losing it. And it was huge for seeding that year. But I'm just saying, like, Harden gets the job done, bro. Like, Harden's like that. And every year, the Rockets are routinely a top seed. And, you know, but you, like you said, you're going off recency bias, and this year, so I can see how you deduce that.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have Harden.
Well, I think that not many teams have a superstar, and I think the Nets are one of them. Just wanted to put that out there.
The Nets don't have a superstar.
Kevin Durant.
Oh, wait, no. I thought you said that. I'm pretty sure you just said that they didn't have a superstar.
The Nets?
What? I thought you just said that.
No, I said we did.
Oh, okay.
I said not many teams have a superstar, but the Nets are one of them.
Okay, with, I was confused.
Oh, I actually said that wrong. I meant not many teams have a superstar on their roster, but the Nets are not one of those teams. The Nets have a superstar, and I think there's like five of those teams in the league. It's just...
I also think that he's the most...
We beat the Magic, and LeVert, Joe Harris, Jared Allen didn't play. We still won. We're just so deep. Guys like Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrón are giving us big minutes. We're so deep. We're so talented. This team is so good. It's just, I really want us to put the pieces together. I'm so nervous for next year, bro.
I think Kevin Durant's the least likable superstar to play, like, to be in a locker room with.
Still a superstar.
I know, but I like that leadership stuff like that. So, I think he's not a leader. And well,
let's be fair about that. When has a teammate ever been like, F Durant, I hate that guy? I've never seen that. Even after he left. Actually, no, Russ did that. But that was because he left. Like, Durant wasn't the bad teammate is the point I'm making. And Kendrick Perkins is a different story, but you don't see guys like, it's not a common theme where like guys will leave Durant as like, man, I did not like playing with that guy. Like, both? That's not Russell Westbrook's beef with Durant. His beef is like, you joined them, you left us.
Both times that's... Kevin Durant left the team, I really... That's why
I'm
not
there. Give me the quote.
Both times that Kevin Durant left the team were mistakes on his end. Like, not mistakes.
Him leaving the Thunder was a mistake?
They could have ran it back. Like, if you...
Oh, no. Don't do that. You've bagged on Russ so many times. You are the most anti-Russ guy. You always talk about how he's one of the worst teammates and how playing with him is difficult. But you're like, Durant, stay with him.
Wait, let me propose this. So, Kevin Durant just went to the Nets now to prove that he can win on his own terms. So, why did he leave OKC?
Because he did not like playing with Russ, and because he wanted to win.
He always talks about how he liked playing with Russ.
I think he'd rather play with Steph, Clay, and Draymond. No, nothing against Russ, but...
So then why did he leave to play with Kyrie? He's going to see playing with Kyrie is no easy fiddle. He's going to see that.
I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that... Those two are really close and are friends, that those two have the best, like, the best person that has a chance right now playing well with Kyrie, I think, is Durant. And I think the best person that has a chance playing well with Durant is Kyrie right now, because they're so close and they're friends. And they obviously chose Brooklyn together for a reason. My issue is that my whole question with the Nets is how those two are going to fit with the rest of the roster. You see what I'm saying?
Somewhat.
Well, what would your biggest question be with as a Nets fan?
I mean, fitting with the roster, but more just like
who's your leader? My fit is how those two will fit in.
Who's leading the team? Who's holding the team together? I don't think there's one guy on the team who's just like holding that team together.
talk about leadership, I think Caris LeVert has a chance.
Oh my God. They're not listening to a guy who's a third-year player.
I'm just saying.
You need a glue guy, and they don't have
like,
one.
Glue guy?
No, not a glue guy.
Because we have glue guys. We have like
more than a glue guy. Like,
spit it out.
I'm just saying that you need a guy who holds it all together.
I mean, that's what we're hoping Kevin Durant can do. Yeah, you're laughing at that. You're so anti. It's funny. The two guys you're most anti are on the same team, and it's my team.
No, I'm anti a lot of guys.
No, I'm talking about, like, the superstars.
You can see a
pattern. Stars.
Kyrie is not a superstar.
No, the stars, not the superstars.
You can see a pattern between guys I'm anti. Like, we're looking guys that I'm anti. Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook. Anthony Davis, you would say I'm anti. And I think they all have a common denominator. They just, you don't think of them as, man, this guy's a teammate. And you don't think of this guy's, man, this team's really going to be, this guy's going to be there for me.
I think Durant is there for me when it comes down to it. And I think his two finals MVPs proved that. I think Kyrie is down for it. Proved that in 2016. I think Russ, every game he plays hard.
I mean more like this guy's like doesn't know how to pick up his other guys. Like, it's hard to explain, but I think like something there that you can see.
This is an outsider perspective, and I don't think you can say that 100% unless you've played with them. That's just my opinion.
I just think there's something there you can see between we're talking Embiid, AD, KD, Kyrie.
I think if you Westbrook. Really get to know these guys and play with them, more than 85% of the teammates that are with them like don't have a problem with any of the stuff they do. That's just my opinion. Like we can agree or disagree, but we got to move on. Let's get to this game. I'd say maybe it's in the running for game of the bubble, probably top five. Happened last night. Trailblazers Mavericks. Gigantic for seeding for the Trailblazers. They won it, and it put them at the 8th spot. Let's go to it. What were your thoughts on that game? Just give me your thoughts.
Wow. That's all I could say. I was just watching the game. I'm just like,
that
wow.
That was amazing. That was really great. That was great. Right before the playoffs, that was a really nice appetizer. I mean, yo. Damian Lillard is so it like PG shouldn't be talking to him, honestly. Like that whole feud that they had or whatever, or it's still going on. Like Paul George's comebacks are so whack. Dude, do you not remember what happened last year? Dame sent you packing. Like that was no fluke.
Kind of like Curry sent KD packing, but okay. Okay.
Bro, can we stop talking about that, please? I said let's just agree or disagree and move on. Like we gotta talk about this.
Alright.
we can go on about KD and Steph all the time. But look, Damian Lillard is like it's just and I thought the biggest thing about this game was that it didn't matter what Dallas did. Because that whole game, Dallas just hung in there. Like, they were just clawing, clawing, clawing. No matter what Portland could do, Dallas would just stay in the game. And Lillard was like, it's all right, I got this. He was poised, stayed in control the whole time. He put up, like, 20 points in that fourth quarter. He scored 60. How much did he score? 61?
Mm-hmm.
And also, something Damian Lillard does every game where, like, he'll shoot a three and try to get a call and not get it. But it will still go in anyways. I feel like it happens every Portland game.
Biggest surprise of the game, Hassan Whiteside.
Yes.
Yusuf Nurkic bows out.
Big minutes.
Hassan Whiteside comes in, plays amazing.
Someone who me and you aren't the biggest fan of, but he proved us wrong.
He was great
last
down
night.
The stretch.
He really was.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
That Lillard shot that just bounced up in the air
and went in.
And like, I think I had the same exact reaction as the announcers did, because I was betting on the Portland. I was betting on Portland to win the game, and I just see it go up in the air. I'm like, oh, and I just, and then I see it go in. I'm just like,
and then it just falls in.
It was crazy.
That was nuts. And also, the Blazers, I thought they played great team defense. I know Dallas ran up the score, but it's funny because there's not a like, there's not a lot of great individual defenders on that team, but
I think there's a bunch of good defenders on that team.
Yeah,
like, that team just plays Lillard, McCollum, Trent, good defenders. Wenyan, great. Gabriel.
You think McCollum is a good defender?
Yes.
I strongly disagree. I'm not gonna lie. I strongly disagree.
I think he's an underrated defender.
Same with Dame. I don't think Dame's a great defender either.
I think McCollum's a better defender than Dame.
Really? I think either of them are not great defenders.
I think McCollum's defense gets overlooked just because he looks kind of short. Like,
I watch him. I don't see it. But that's just my point of view. But I mean, Dame was just ridiculous in this game. Even without the teammate stuff and the leadership, I still just think he's better than Kyrie. Like, even if Kyrie was the leader and teammate that Dame was, I still just think Dame's better than him.
Yeah, I think
like,
so,
he's
too.
That good. He's just that good. And it's no disrespect to Kyrie, because I know how talented Kyrie is, and Kyrie is one of the best handles I've ever seen. It's just Dame just makes everything look so easy. Like, he did this. He went around Porzingis, like, so many times, just ripped baseline for an open layup. And it was, like, scary how easily and just how fast he was just getting past him. Like, I thought it was very telling. Also, for Dallas, Trey Burke was awesome in that game. Honestly, Trey Burke is kind of that guy. Like, I think the average NBA fan, and even I would do this too, where, like, someone, Trey Burke would pop into my head, and I would instantly think of this player who's just not very good. But he plays like he's on fire. Honestly, I can see a lot of similarities with his game in Van Vliet, where he's just running everywhere on the court, you know, playing hard on both ends of the floor. And I think he was the only one who actually seemed to somewhat have a chance of stopping Dame at all.
When you said Dame is like better than Kyrie and you were hesitant about it or somewhat, there's no reason to be hesitant. Dame is 100% better than Kyrie Irving.
No, I'm talking based solely on their talent.
Even solely on their talent.
I've seen Kyrie rise up more in the playoffs. I just have.
As a second fiddle?
Oh, so now you want to use that argument.
When would I not use that argument?
I always use that argument when I'm like, yeah, he played well, but he was the second best guy. The first guy was getting all the attention.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Steph Curry.
No, Steph Curry's not second fiddle. See, I think Kevin Durant's the second fiddle. I think Durant's the second fiddle with both of them.
Of course you do. All right, Lowry.
If you're talking on who the defense is focused on.
Lowry.
Yeah, that's right. What about Lowry?
I'm saying, like, I was saying it's more easier to be Kyle Lowry than Damian Lillard when we were doing our All-NBA teams, because I had Lillard higher than Lowry. And you had Lowry higher, and my whole argument was it's easier to be Kyle Lowry than Damian Lillard. But now you want to take back that logic.
No, because Lowry's doing better right now. Lowry is the 2 seed.
This was our All-NBA teams. That was just the 2019 season. This had nothing to do with now.
Yes, but Lowry played great. Like, great.
Kyrie didn't play great. He had the biggest shot maybe the decade.
Yes, but there's a difference in this. Lillard's playing great as a 1. Kyrie's playing great as a 2 in terms of, like, where their roles are. Like, if Lillard wasn't playing great, then there'd be an argument. Duh.
That's fair. I'm just saying, like, I just think Kyrie is so talented. It's hard to be like, oh, it's not even close. Like, it's definitely.
I could care less about the talent if you can't put it together.
No, AKA but that's my Joel argument. That's what I'm just you and your Joel Embiid hate. Like, you're acting like he doesn't have time to put it together. How old is he? 26? Jordan and LeBron didn't win it. Didn't each combined had zero rings at that point. So Embiid still has time to put it together. Like, don't do that.
I'm just asking Embiid to be a top two seed at least if you're that good.
I mean, Jordan couldn't do that at that age.
Jordan's different. Oh. Jordan's not Embiid. Embiid's a guard.
Yeah, but we didn't know that when Jordan was 26.
You knew. We knew.
No, we didn't.
We did know.
No, we didn't. No, he didn't win a title until 5 years later. Don't do that.
It wasn't about the titles. You knew he was different.
Look, neither of us grew up in that time, but most fans would tell you they didn't know that because who can predict that some player becomes
the greatest player of all time? This dude was an MVP before, like 2 years before he.
Okay, so was Derrick Rose. Like, it's a regular season award. So is Dirk Nowitzki. And then he lost in the first round.
Okay, but if Derrick Rose made the finals, we wouldn't be like, oh, now this is Derrick Rose that year.
Jordan never made the finals before.
He made the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7.
Not the finals.
I'm just saying,
and Embiid was in a Game 7. Wait, Embiid was in a Game 7 with the champs.
I'm just saying, you saw Jordan, you were like, oh, this is coming. We never felt that way about...
It's so easy for you to say that now, because we weren't even alive when Jordan was winning titles.
Yes, but you read stuff back then.
Okay, did you think that about LeBron in 2011? That he'd become the greatest player ever? No, you didn't. So that's my whole point. If we could say that about LeBron, we can say it about Embiid, because LeBron is way better than Embiid.
I'm not saying the best player ever, but I'm saying Jordan actually had his talent put together. Like, Embiid has to put his talent together with the game.
Really? Because Jordan ran through coaches before Phil Jackson.
And then he has to learn how to win. Like, Embiid has a lot to learn. And then he has to learn how to win. And before he does that, he has to learn how to be a personality first. A good personality, I mean.
Name a teammate who doesn't like Embiid.
Name a teammate that doesn't like Russell Westbrook. There's a lot of stuff that teammates think that isn't true. Players don't always know the most. You see it in the NFL top 100.
Players know who the good teammate is, because that's what dictates what a good teammate is. It's how you work well with the players.
Players love playing with Russell Westbrook, but you know there's an underlying reason why players get better when they beat
Westbrook. You're speaking for players, and I don't like it. But anyway, one big thing about this Portland game, this Portland-Dallas game, that I thought was really important, just real quickly, that Nurkic was in foul trouble, and the fouls were driving me crazy. I scream at the refs all the time. They're calling technicals for trash talking. Are you serious? Like, serious, do you think they should call technicals for just simply trash talking? Unless you're saying, like, a racial slur or, like, something homophobic, and none of these guys are, because in the current climate we're in, they'd be out of the league if they were saying that, then you shouldn't get a technical for trash talking. What's your thoughts on that, really quickly?
I mean, it's bound to happen with this crowd noise.
Yeah, but do you think it should? Do you think players should get a technical for trash talking? I don't think so.
On some level.
I don't. I mean, it's a man's sport. But the real important thing that I noticed was that with Nurkic in the foul trouble, I've noticed that's like kind of a common theme with him throughout this bubble, is that I've seen him get into foul trouble a lot. He's fouled out more than once, and did he foul in this Dallas game? He was definitely five fouls. He fouled out, right? Yeah, he fouled out Hassan Whiteside came in. Yeah. And I see that's a common theme, and that's one of my big things with when the Lakers – I mean, I'm just going to say it. The Lakers are playing Portland in the first round. Like, sorry to break it to everyone. I guess who knows? There could be an injury or whatnot, but if Portland stays healthy, there's no way they don't make it. And I think that Davis is definitely going to have something to say about that because Nurkic already struggles with foul trouble. I think that Davis could really get him into foul trouble. And I think that's going to be huge because I think Nurkic is Portland's third best player. And I think it's a big concern if I was a Trailblazer fan because they're going to have to play the Lakers first round.
Yep.
But that's all for me. Anything left? Can't wait for the playoffs. That's really all I got to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to say TJ Warren just got diagnosed with plantar fasciitis. The same thing Sabonis has.
Oh, my God.
No, but it depends on from person. Some people can play through it. Some people, it's just like, I can't even walk. It depends.
So you're nervous.
I mean, apparently he's been playing with it for most of the season.
Oh, he's been playing with most of the season. Oh, they should be fine then.
I mean, Lillard played with it for a lot of the season, I'm pretty sure. It depends on person to person.
Yeah, you're right. Honestly, it's not even a story with some guys because it like doesn't affect them at all. Anyway, we got to wrap up. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to be back Sunday with our playoff predictions, and then we're going to shift straight into these playoffs. It feels crazy that the playoffs are less than a week away. I just love the point we're at right now, and it's a great time to be an NBA fan. That's all for me, though. Thank you.
Peace.